You know, I work in compliance, and it is our job to make sure that we disclose information to the public. And a lot of times, disclosures, disclaimers, and all of those things that we get in our mail look something like this. And they're usually in very small type. You can't read them. You don't know what they say. But this morning, I want to make something very clear to you. I want to talk to you about why I'm here. I want to say that without Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. That my life is a witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And through Christ, everything I say and do is for His glory. Because I know that if it wasn't for Him, I would be out there. And I just wanted to make that clear before I ever start this sermon. You know, a lot of you know me pretty well, and others of you sort of know me by sight, and I have a feeling that after this sermon, you're going to know me a whole lot better. I am the middle child of three. I have an older brother, and I have a younger brother. When I was 10 years old, my parents called my older brother and I into the living room on a Thanksgiving morning and said, 4 months from now, you will have a baby brother or sister. And I tell you, we were shocked. I looked at my brother, and he looked at I, and we sort of said, uh-huh, told you so. Because we'd been eyeing our mother for the last several months, and we looked at her stomach and said, could it be possible? Nah, she's too old. But anyway, sure enough, in 4 months, I had a baby brother. You know, he was a big surprise to us, but he was not a surprise to God, because God looked into the future and he could see what was going to happen in our family, and he knew that Tim would be a blessing to us. And so Tim was born at the right time and in the right place. And you also were planned. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. And that's found in Psalms 139, 13 to 16. I noticed that phrase, your eyes saw me when I was formless, and I can't help but think in Genesis about the world being without form or void. And I was just thinking, I wonder if God created me in one word like he did the world. A few months ago, my roommate Wendy and I moved into a new home. And as you can see in this picture, we have a rock lawn. And we also have this tall cactus that's in our yard. And it's pretty close to the driveway, so every time I open my door to load the passenger side, I have to be careful not to brush into it. This cactus is a very ordinary looking thing. It's very small and insignificant, but there was a lot of excitement that was going on about this cactus when we first moved in. The neighbor across the street who had been there for many years said, I've never seen this cactus bloom. And yet she was anticipating that in a few days it was going to bloom. One morning I walked out, and this is what I saw. From that very small, insignificant cactus, I saw a beautiful flower. You know, we are like cactus in that we are small and insignificant, but God put us here in a specific time and place. Something so beautiful as those flowers lasted for only a short time. I had my camera in my purse, so I decided to snap some shots, and I vowed that when I came home from work that I was going to take some more pictures. But you know, this flower was all closed up and gone by the time I got from home from work. And it hasn't bloomed again. We have only a short time to make an impact in our families and in our church. and in the world, God has also given us a future. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This morning I want to talk to you about something that's very dear to my heart. I want to paint a picture for you, a clear picture if I can, of the relationship that God wants to have with us, the future and the hope that he has promised us. And I want to show you how God can work through us to bless others. Did you know that we are co-workers with the God of heaven? Can you imagine what that's like? At the 11 o'clock service, we are going to learn just what the implications of that are. We are co-workers with heaven, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels for saving mankind. It's a battle for hearts and minds. We are resourced for the job. God gives us his all. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Can you believe that we are chosen? Can you believe that he would trust us to be priests, go between earth and heaven? And what is our purpose here? I thought our purpose was to praise God. And you know, I found that our purpose is to praise God. Because every time that I realize that God is standing beside me, that I am a co-worker with God, my heart overflows with joy. And praise is the normal result. It's not because God's up there and says, "Oh, I want my children to praise me more." But it's because he wants us to feel and to know the love that it comes from knowing him. We are to be witnesses of what he has done for us. And I am a witness to what God has done for me today. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:5. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I suppose we thought that worship was coming here and sitting in the pew and singing songs and reading verses. But you know what it says it is, our worship to God? Our worship is ourselves. He wants us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to him. Wonder what that means. Do you realize that we can give our all to God? Our hearts, our wants, our desires, our bodies. Do you realize that in the Old Testament that they offered sacrifices of animals, pointing to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would give for us? But you know, we are not under that system anymore because Jesus fulfilled that system. God is asking for something even more from us. He's asking for our hearts and our lives. He's asking for us as a sacrifice to him. I want to talk for a few minutes about confidence. You know, someone suggested recently that it's easy for us to have confidence in God. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, he's absolutely right. Is God trustworthy? Yes. Is God loving? Yes. One time in our small group, we made a whole list of the attributes of God. And you know, it's very, very easy to have confidence when we put our confidence in God. But it's amazing that God has confidence in us. Think about it. He wants us to be partners with him, yet we are untrustworthy. Our lives are filled with sin. We were enemies with God. We are against God a lot of times in our thoughts and our wicked actions, and the list is endless. And yet God has confidence in us. Yet when we were all this, God deliberately invested in us all that he had, the great price of his dear Son, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of God. The marvelous thing is that God gave himself to us to win our hearts. This is a thing that God has given to us. I find this text to just be amazing. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. And what are these implications? What did we just read? We read that we are a new creation, that we are different people when Christ fills our heart. We read that old things have passed away. That means that when we give our lives to Christ, we can leave our old lives behind. New things have come. God has promised us a future and a hope with him. God has reconciled us to himself. I sort of picture this as being like him leading us to himself and wrapping his arms around us. And God is reconciling the world to himself. Have you looked recently out there in the world? We see more and more division between the things of God and the things of evil and sin. One of the most interesting things I find is that God doesn't count our sins against us. He gives us a fresh start, and then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know this country hand chooses ambassadors to go to other countries and to represent us to other nations? And do you know that God has chosen you and me, each one of us, to be ambassadors for him? What an awesome responsibility that he has given us. What confidence he places in us. And God is appealing through us. You know, the verse says, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I must confess that one's really hard for me. It's hard for me to say to my brothers and sisters, you all here, to plead with you to be reconciled to God. And how much more difficult it is for me to go out in the neighborhood, at work, in my family, and say, be reconciled to God. Because a lot of times it's not just words, it's actions. As Christians, it's our duty to be co-workers with God. It is the natural result of giving our hearts to him. You know, one reason why God puts so much confidence in us, one reason why he gives us so much responsibility is because he knows that this is what's going to save us. He knows that when we focus on others and we focus on him, that we are changed into his image. When we are partnered with Christ, we find the greatest joy in doing what he asks of us. Do you know the battle that's going on in the world for hearts and minds? Do you feel that battle in your own heart? I know that I do. I feel that battle every single day. And you know, I've come to realize just how important it is to get up, have prayer and Bible study every morning with God, because that is how I'm able to say, I choose God every day. If it wasn't for God, I would be out there. I would care less about anything that has to do with God. The local church today needs people willing to take risks to advance the work. To use one's spiritual gifts means to risk failure. But to fail to use one's spiritual gifts is failure. God has given us so many gifts. You saw the wonderful youth that were up here singing with me this morning. You saw Diego, at least I saw Diego, for the first time up here playing keyboard. This is the first time that I've sung with our teens. And thank you, April, for that beautiful song that you sang about trusting in Jesus. I want to summarize what I've talked about so far before I go into the next phase of my sermon. We were planned. You know, God planned for us to be here. He formed us, and we are His. And He wants so much for us to choose Him. We are only on earth here for a short time, just like the flowers that we saw. We were opened, and as you saw, those are beautiful, huge blossoms. But you know, we are only dust, and sometimes we pass away, and we only have a short time to have an impact on our world. We are chosen. We are co-workers. We are priests and ambassadors for Christ. We were placed here to guard God's honor and to reveal His character to the world. What an awesome responsibility. Have you ever considered the idea of guarding God's honor, of revealing His character of love to the world? We are also witnesses to the world of what God has done for us. And we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And He gives us the confidence. He gives us the resources. He gives us the hope. And as we work, our lives are changed into His image. And He gives us the greatest joy and pleasure for working with Him. You know, God called the disciples, the chosen 12. And I always thought, wow, what an awesome thing to be one of those chosen 12, to actually walk side by side with Jesus when He was here on this earth. He, Jesus, who called the fishermen of Galilee, is still calling men to His service. And He is just as willing to manifest His power through us as through the disciples. When I first read that, I was like, oh, us? Can you believe that? He still wants to manifest Himself through us. However imperfect and sinful we are, the Lord holds out to us the offer of partnership with Himself, of an apprenticeship with Christ. And I know that we don't usually do apprenticeships here in the United States. It's sort of a European idea. But imagine, even though He's not here, He's in heaven right now. He sent the Holy Spirit to us that's going to live in us and is going to apprentice with us. And you know what? That's just exactly what I'm doing this morning. I'm apprenticing with Christ. He invites us to come under the divine instruction that uniting with Christ, we may do the works of God. This sermon would be nothing if I didn't tell you of my personal experience and what Christ has done for me. You know, I spent several years in the world. I was raised a Seventh-day Adventist. In fact, I was a fifth-generation Seventh-day Adventist, but there were many things that I didn't understand. But I knew that God was with me. And when I was out there in the world, I didn't understand what I was doing, but now that I look back on it, I sort of have an idea. What I was saying was, God, if I do this, will you still love me? God, will you still love me if I do this? And He said to me, yes, I still love you. Then I would do something else, something I wasn't brought up to do, something I knew that God has told us in His word that we shouldn't do. And I'd say, God, do you still love me? And God would say, yes, I still love you. But He said, I wish you wouldn't do that. What you're doing has consequences. What you would do, what you're doing is killing you, what you're doing will make you unhappy. Please choose something different. And you know, one day I heard God calling me, and the result was that I ended up here in Glendale. And he made a change in my life. Since then, he's been asking me to do things for him. I pulled out my guitar out of the closet. Hadn't played it for a number of years. I wasn't even sure that I knew how to do the chords anymore. I'd totally forgotten the rhythm. And that was after I went to Susan Robbins' small group. Bruce Kurtz was still going to group there, and they were just getting ready to multiply, and they were going to be losing their music. And I walked out that night thinking, wow, they're going to be singing a cappella. And yet I know how to play the guitar, or at least I used to. And God said to me, will you do this for me? And I said, wow, I'm not sure if I can do this for you, but I'll try. And you know, I've been playing the guitar ever since. You saw me up here this morning playing. The next thing was that God said, well, Susan said, will you be apprentice in my small group? And I said, wow, this is to myself. I don't know if I can do that. I haven't even made a concrete decision to come back to church. I don't know if this is the right thing to do. I have all these things still in my life that I have to do something about. So I told Susan no. And I got in my car and I was headed home, and I heard a voice in my head that said, why can't you do this? And I listed all the reasons why I couldn't do it. And I heard, but why can't you do this? And then I heard a voice that said in my head, I love you, will you do this for me? And I went back and said yes. And now I'm the leader of Susan's small group. One morning, when I was at first service, I was asked by Gary and Marilyn Vinden to give my testimony in second service. And I was, oh no, I have to talk in front of people. But yet, I looked back on what God had done for me, and I said, how can I not give my testimony to him? How can I get up in front of these people and tell what God means to me? And so many of you might have been there when I was up in front and gave my testimony of what God had done in my life. It was one morning where someone wasn't available to give the prayer for first service. And I was sitting next to Susan, and Marilyn Vinden came quickly over to me and she said, will you please offer prayer this morning in first service? And I said, oh no. Another thing that God is asking me to do. I had no notice. And you know what I said? I said no. And I, after that, said, oh, how can I possibly say no to God that has done so much for me? I've had further roles in the church. I've had many other things that God has asked me to do. I'm up here in front of you this morning because this is one of the things that God has asked me to do. When I was asked to preach, my first impression was, oh no, I can't do that. You couldn't possibly be asking me, God, to do this. But yet he took me back to all the times when I said, God, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. And he says, I love you now. Would you please do this for me? And so here I am this morning doing this for him. You know, Jesus is calling you too. What is he calling you to do? How many times have you said no to the God who loves you? The God that wants to move you forward in his work. The God who wants to change your life. The God that wants you to be an ambassador and a partner with him. The one that has given so much of himself for you. I want to challenge you today to please say yes to God. I challenge you today to give him everything that you have. To remember that there's a whole world out there who needs you. A distinct work is assigned to every Christian. When a soul is converted and exercises faith in Christ, when prayer is offered, when obedience is rendered in accordance with the prayer, the active working of the Holy Spirit is revealed. The spiritual quickening above enters the life. I know who I am and believed is the testimony born as the newborn souls work out the divine purpose. Today I want to have a special prayer for you. I want to have a prayer that you will recognize God's voice in your life. And you will say yes to the God who loves you above everything else. Father in heaven, I thank you for this people. I thank you for this wonderful place that you've put us in. I thank you for calling us, Lord. And I ask that these people would, my co-church members, my friends, those that are visiting today, would recognize your voice in your hearts and say yes to you. Maybe, Father, it's the first time that they have said yes to you about anything. Maybe they don't feel worthy for, Lord, of saying yes to you. But Lord, I ask that you would help them to feel your love in their hearts. Show them special Bible verses that are meaningful for them. Help them take a hold, Lord, of what you've asked them to do. Help them to risk and help them to adventure for you. Because Lord, that's what life has been for me ever since I've said yes to you. Many times you've asked me to jump into the deep end of the swimming pool, Lord, but you've been there right beside me. And I thank you for being our God. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.